work. Sorry about the threat, but it's your fight. It has nothing to do with us. We're leaving.
But they'll kill us!
Maybe. How about those poor dead folks on the wrecked boat I saw?
That was an accident. We thought they were with Yovel. One of his vessels had been seen. They were Seminole fishermen. Two of our dolphins carried the charges, and by the time we realized our error, it was too late.
For the dolphins as well? Your fellow creatures? That what you just called them?
Tomlin looked down at the floor and said nothing. Ryan walked to the door.
So long.
I'll die!
We all do eventually, Tomlin.
The pirates shot those people!
After you'd wrecked their ship so they were fucking helpless.
Ryan turned and took a couple of steps toward Tomlin, who cowered against the wall, his hands covering his face.
No, I won't hit you. There's nothing personal in this. I just won't bring my friends into something that's not our fight.
Oh, no!
As he stepped out into the dazzling sunlight, Ryan heard the man start to cry. Ryan had half expected the scientists to make some sort of attempt to stop them from leaving the compound, but everyone from the Institute seemed to have vanished. Doors were closed and blinds drawn down across most of the windows. As they readied themselves for their departure, checking weapons and taking some food and drink, Ryan told the others a little about Tomlin's plea for help. Dean and Michael were the only ones to raise any sort of objection.
We could kill these pirates, Dad, couldn't we?
I agree with Dean. These people of the Institute might make some mistakes along the line. Who doesn't? But they don't seem to be truly evil people here, Ryan.
I'm not too strong on what's evil and what isn't. A lot depends on circumstances. That doesn't matter.
It should matter. We fight against evil, or we become a part of that same evil.
Claptrap and cant, my boy. You'll be telling me next some arrant nonsense about success being the only failure, and that failure isn't really any sort of success. Ryan is right. Life is survival. We know enough about this so-called self-styled scientist to be absolutely sure that his favorite color isn't as pure white as a Montana snowfall. Nor, however, is it the black of a mole's rectal orifice.
Thought you might have sided with me, Doc. You, of all people.
Expect the worst, and you'll rarely be disappointed. I shall miss the food, the hot water, and the softness of the mattress. Still, we shall go some more a-roving, shall we not, my brothers and sisters?
Yeah. We shall go right now. I'll take point, JB take the rear guard.
There was the faint, elusive scent of sulfur carried across the keys by a mild westerly.
Another quake or volcano or something. Doesn't show in the sky. There isn't a single cloud anywhere in sight, is there?
The sky was an unsullied blue. As they left the Institute of Peaceful Oceanographic Research, not a face showed at any of the buildings. Ryan figured that they would easily get back to the ruins of the underwater redoubt before dark, though a small part of him felt a prickle of fear at the thought of plunging into the cold gloom, with the massive coils of the muddy sea snake waiting among the slick caverns. If Michael shared that horror, he certainly wasn't showing it. Though Ryan kept them mainly to the folded ribbon of the old blacktop, he kept sprinting to one side or the other, particularly at the point where the key was so narrow that you could almost have thrown a stone from the shore of the gulf clear across into the Atlantic. Dean followed Michael, engaging in a mock battle with him, using a couple of lengths of driftwood, each about the size of a two-handed sword. Michael's reflexes were so uncannily fast that he could have beaten Dean within seconds, but he deliberately slowed himself down, allowing the 11-year-old to occasionally score a glancing hit. Christy had broken from their extended skirmish line, joining Ryan at the front, linking her arm in his.
Hope we don't get attacked by Tomlin's pirates. We caught cold if we do.
Are you worried, lover?
Not really. Sunshine and fresh air. Once we get through that dark blasted tunnel into the gateway and make the jump, I'll be pleased.
That was the nearest we've had to a vacation since... I can't even remember.
Yeah. It's been good to relax a little. Apart from having to chill the Indian and then that guy in the shed last night. Only two dead in all those days. Close to vacation.
You know what I mean, lover. At least we could sleep all night without any clothes on and not expect to find a sticky trying to rip our faces off.
Sure. But the way things turned out, it was like we'd been eating this wonderful apple and then 18 bites in, you find you've got half a maggot between your teeth. The Institute was kind of like that.
I know what you mean.
As they moved slowly northward, they didn't see much wildlife. a few orange-capped gulls circling far out to their right, toward the east, and an unidentifiable furry creature, around 3 feet long, with a prominent jaw and a small horn in its forehead. It scampered across the blacktop in front of them and vanished into some scrub. The dolphins were still there. Oddly, there were several species, keeping station with them 100 yards out in the ocean. Ryan had been long enough in the Institute to recognize the types. Several of the most common were bottlenoses, their smooth glistening bodies appearing and disappearing in complex sinuous patterns. There was a pair of spotted dolphins, with their beautiful white-on-black patterns, and one each of the rarer species, the small Franciscana dolphin with its long snout, a round-nosed black vaquita, and a humpback dolphin, looking just as though they were a trio of mer-children at play.
Look, that's a killer whale out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, it's the same one from Tomlin's place.
How do you know that? They all look the same.
Oh. One that they called Lorca.
Orca, surely. Lorca is a long-dead poet.
JB took off his fedora and rubbed at his forehead.
Could be you're right, Doc. But I recognize that big double notch out of the dorsal fin.
Why's Tomlin sent his spies after us? To protect us?
They saved me from the snake. Don't any of you ever forget that I'd be dead if it hadn't been for them. Not one of you could have rescued me, could you?
That's a fair point. But they can't speak to us and we can't speak to them, so let's keep moving.
They were more than halfway to the buried redoubt, making good time.
Is it my ancient imagination, or can I catch the scent of wood smoke?
Ryan stopped, glancing behind him. Doc was standing still, his head back. He was sniffing the air.
I can smell it too, Dad.
Now that it was drawn to his attention, Ryan realized that he'd noticed it. There was a momentary anger at his own carelessness, strolling along with Christy as though they didn't have a worry in the world, forgetting in the sunshine that they were still very much in Deathlands.
Coming from ahead, to the left. Just about make a faint haze beyond those three palm trees.
Now Ryan could see it, a ghosting of white, drifting innocuously into the sky behind a ridge. There was also the top of a building just visible.
It could be fishermen, couldn't it?
Wait here. JB, let you and me go and have a look at what's down there.
They moved quickly forward, stooping slightly to keep as low as possible. Ryan had his Sig Sauer drawn and ready, while the armorer gripped his Uzi.
Pirates.
Likely.
Now they were off the road, in among some wind-blasted junipers, following the line of an old track toward the Gulf of Mexico. The smell of smoke was stronger, overlaid with the flavor of roasting meat. Through a dip in the land, they could suddenly glimpse a short stretch of the beach. Two boats were drawn up above the tide line. Both were 20-footers with furled sails. Both had auxiliary motors bolted to their sterns, and they were being guarded by a tall black man with a blaster slung across one shoulder.
Yeah, pirates.
The companions were lying on the crest of the ridge, flattened in the spear grass to avoid being silhouetted against the skyline. They passed forward the last few feet, peering cautiously down. It was obvious that the site had once been a small trailer park, with a few clabbered cottages on two sides. The roofless hulks of the buildings looked as though the first strong wind would blow them clear across the keys, yet they had obviously survived there for 100 years of hurricanes and storms. Scattered around were the rusting hulks of 30 or more trailer units, mostly windowless and many of them also doorless. They'd settled on their hubs, rotting fragments of old tires still visible on a few of the wheels. Ryan saw two fires. Both had iron tripods suspended over them, holding black cauldrons. What was infinitely more interesting was the group of men, and women, he noticed, who were standing or sitting around the dancing flames. A quick count produced 9. Every one of them wasn't just armed, but somewhat overarmed. They all had at least 2 hand blasters, either in belts or in crossed shoulder holsters. 3 piles of various rifles stood neatly by the side of one of the fires. Bandoliers of ammo lay in the sand, and Ryan could also see a mixture of long and short knives sheathed on every hip. Fishermen they weren't. Ryan glanced sideways at JB.
Tomlin was telling the truth.
His worst nightmare.
Let's get back to the others. Cut across to the eastern side of the key and stick to the beach for a half mile or so north. We should be safely past them by then.
Yeah.
Like a lot of good plans, it was ruined by a stroke of unforeseen bad luck. As Ryan and JB started to wriggle back down the slope to rejoin the others, they were confronted by a fat mulatto woman, rising from behind one of the junipers, still hoisting her panties from answering a call of nature.
Who the fuck are you?
She was just too far away from them to be taken out with silent steel, so Ryan shot her.